This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show,
the podcast
on TSN1290.ca.
Halfway through the IC Hockey Show, it's a Santa Lucia Pizza Winnipeg Jets game day on TSN 1290. Jets and Coyotes, final regular season game of the season. I still can't believe we're already sitting here. It's April 6th, and the NHL regular season is open. We don't know if the Jets are going to finish first or second in the Central Division. They could still finish third. But one thing we do know is the Jets are going to play next Wednesday or Thursday to kick off the first round. Hopefully it's here in Winnipeg. Let's hit the Illegal Curve Hockey Show hotline.
Now, let's go live on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show hotline.
We're pleased to be joined by good friend of IC. He's one of our favorite all-time guests, Michael Trakos, national hockey writer for Post Media. Mike, how's it going?
Pretty good. We're almost there, eh? We're at the finish line?
We're at the finish line, and we can see it, and thank God, because it's been a long regular season, maybe a longer in the city of Ottawa, but certainly we're excited for the start of the Stanley Cup playoffs. And, you know, Mike, we got to start off with the Toronto Maple Leafs goaltending situation. A familiar name here for Jets fans, Michael Hutchinson. It was announced yesterday by Leafs head coach Mike Babcock. It was announced that Hutchinson is going to be the backup. Freddie Anderson, everyone knows he's the number one goaltender. He's going to get the final start of the season tonight against the Montreal Canadiens. That, of course, is going to be Bob Cole's final call. But when you're talking about this, the goaltending situation, Garrett Sparks, they've said, is going to be on a 10-day break because he can't be sent down to the American Hockey League. So how surprised are you that it took this long to anoint Hutchinson as Anderson's backup?
Yeah, you know what? They really believe in Sparks, and you know, this is the guy who won a Calder Cup for them last year in the American Hockey League, and in a lot of respect, he is kind of considered a goalie of the future. There's still hope that he's going to get there, but really, they were just kind of hoping that as the season went on, that he would find his confidence, would find his game, and would be at least a dependable backup, or at least a guy that you can depend on in mop-up duty. You know, that's not the case. This guy can't string together wins. He's letting in too many soft goals. And, you know, it's not a great problem that the Leafs have. Like, if this was Anderson that we're talking about, their starter, then you'd be in a real pickle. But the fact that it's your backup still is cause for concern. Like, you look at last year's playoffs, and Braden Holtby wasn't the game one starter. Last 4 years, the guy who started game one wasn't in net when the final buzzer sounded for the Stanley Cup champion. So, like, whether it was Murray and Marc-Andre Fleury splitting the net, or, like I said, Holtby and Grubauer kind of fighting for the net at the beginning of the playoffs, at some point in the playoffs, if you're going to go deep, you probably are going to rely on your goaltender or both goalies. So the Leafs just they need someone that they can rely on in the event that, you know, Anderson goes down with an injury, or there's a scenario where he's getting blown out, or, you know, like, he's just playing poorly and you just need a shakeup. So maybe Hutchinson can be that guy, but, you know, last time I checked, this is a guy with zero playoff experience.
And Mike, sticking with the Leafs, it seems like a foregone conclusion for the last 5 months that they were going to face off against the Boston Bruins. What are you putting their odds at actually being able to beat the Bruins in a seven-game series?
You know, right now, low. I think anyone would say that the Leafs are the underdog. No, that being said, if the stars show up, that's Tavares, Matthews, Marner, Nylander, Morgan Rielly, if they all play to their capability, and Anderson just plays how he's been playing for the, you know, the first, I guess, 4 months of the season, then the Leafs have a really good shot. It's just a matter of getting everyone on the same page at the same time. And that's been the kind of the problem with the Leafs. Like, obviously the Mitch Marner, John Tavares line has been just crazy good. Tavares goes into tonight's game, knocking on the door of 50 goals. Marner's close to that 100-point mark. Everything you could ask for from that line. But the Matthews line and Nylander, they haven't clicked how they were in previous seasons. And, you know, the playoff experience against the Bruins isn't great. So, you know, it's funny, like at the beginning of the year, if you had said that the Leafs had to go through the Boston Bruins, I think everyone would say, you know what, this team is 1 year older, they've got John Tavares, it's about time that they, you know, slay that dragon. But in the last month or so, the Leafs haven't been playing their greatest hockey, so there is a lot of cause for concern.
You know, Michael, is it fair to say that, you know, despite his...
don't know, seemingly constant criticism. The Leafs need and are much better when Jake Gardner is in the lineup playing to the level he can?
Oh, 100%. And that's less about Jake and more about the lack of depth that the Leafs have on the blue line. You probably could say the same thing about Josh Morrissey in Winnipeg, that they're a better team with him than without him. But even without him, the Winnipeg Jets have a really good defense where, you know, you can go weeks without Morrissey and probably not really miss him that much. Maybe I'm wrong in that regard, but with the Leafs, you take one guy out like Gardner or even a Travis Dermott who's on your third pair, and the next best option isn't really good. So there's a huge gap between Jake Gardner and the next best Leafs defenseman. And then that's the scary thing, is that as bad as Jake Gardner's looked this season, and let's face it, this is a guy that's been booed on home ice on multiple occasions, you know, option B is even worse. So now all of a sudden we're saying, you hear talk radio talking about how the Leafs really miss this guy. Well, they weren't missing him when he was in the lineup. So what does that say about the rest of the defense? So obviously the Leafs defense is their Achilles heel. Is there definitely a weak spot? Aside from Morgan Rielly and an aging Ron Hainsey, and Jake Muzzin, who's been sort of good, sort of not so good, there's not a lot that you can like back there. You just hope that Anderson is there to stop the puck and, you know, the forwards score their way to trouble.
We're joined by Michael Trakos, national hockey writer for Post Media on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN Radio 1290. And Mike, last segment, we were talking about the Carolina Hurricanes storm surge, and I think you'd agree that the Hurricanes are one of the nicest surprises of the season. I don't think many people were picking the Hurricanes to make the playoffs, and certainly the way the season has turned out and, you know, the way that the season finished, it really couldn't be better for them clinching the playoff spot. And, you know, we saw everybody hugging in the stands, and, you know, Peter Mrazek was probably the most pumped up hockey player I've seen in a very long time. But when you talk about tonight's action, the last day of the regular season, I mean, there's a lot on the line for the Hurricanes. They play at Philadelphia, but if they're able to get some help from the New York Rangers, and obviously the Rangers didn't help the Montreal Canadiens out last night, losing to the Columbus Blue Jackets, but the Hurricanes can actually jump up into third place in the Metro Division, and they'd play the Islanders. I think we'd all agree that if the Hurricanes play the Capitals, that's going to be a much tougher matchup. So just how big is that game? If you're able to play the New York Islanders, I think you'd agree that, you know, the Hurricanes would have a much better shot against New York, maybe not the favorite, but certainly you don't want to go up against the defending Cup champs.
No, and the bigger fear is that Carolina loses ground to Columbus, who's got the Ottawa Senators tonight, and it's only one back of the Hurricanes. And, you know, no one wants to be facing the Tampa Bay Lightning. So that for me, is the bigger thing on the line, is that Carolina just has to stay above Columbus because, you know, first-round matchup against the Lightning is basically a first-round exit in my mind. You have definitely a better chance against the Washington Capitals, and like you said, maybe even a better chance against the New York Islanders if that's the matchup. But, yeah, so there's a lot on the line tonight. And I heard you guys in the preamble before I got on talking about the Jets. And definitely they want to win their division so you don't have to face St. Louis or Nashville in that first round. You'd much rather go against a team like Dallas or even Colorado, depending on how that shakes out. So, you know, it's funny. Like, we're final day of the season, and we still don't know the wild card order. We don't know who's going to win the Central. We don't know who's got home ice advantage. So there's a lot of games to play for, or a lot on the line. And like you said, the Carolina Hurricanes have just been a fantastic story. Them along with the New York Islanders, who, let's face it, when they lost John Tavares to free agency, no one was picking them to be a playoff team. Never mind the second best team in the Metropolitan Division. But here we are, and this is a team now that's got more points than the Toronto Maple Leafs in the final game of the season. Like, who ever would have predicted that the New York Islanders would have more wins than the Leafs without John Tavares and without a guy in the top 60 in scoring?
You know, Mike, it seems like the winning the President's Trophy would be a good thing, because obviously it indicates that you had the best regular season, but it seems to be more of a curse. I mean, we haven't seen a lot of teams win. I think 2013 Blackhawks did it, but of course that was the lockout shortened season. So, you know, we haven't seen a lot of teams do it, but Tampa Bay Lightning this year have just been exceptional. Is there any reason to think that this is a team that's going to break that sort of streak and can do what they've continued to do, what they've done in the regular season, into the playoffs?
They're such an unusual team in the sense that, like, you're right, the President's Trophy tends to be a curse. Like, I think the 2009 Sharks and the 2010 Washington Capitals both went out in the first round. That's not happening to Tampa Bay. And I don't think anyone can really stop this team. People have said, you know what, they haven't faced adversity this year, and that's going to be an issue with them. And it's like, you know what, this is the same group that's lost in the final to the Chicago Blackhawks. Last year they fell short to the Washington Capitals. If that's not adversity, I don't know what is. And, you know, like, whether it's their offense, their defense, their goaltending, like, they don't have any holes in their lineup. And this is a team that's just been geared towards one goal, and that goal is to win the Stanley Cup. And, you know, like, you know, a lot of teams are geared towards that. Like, I guess the Winnipeg Jets kind of went into this season thinking, okay, they're going to avenge their conference final loss last year. But in doing so, they almost lost focus in the regular season and haven't looked as deadly as they did a year ago. Well, Tampa Bay's had that goal of winning the Cup, and yet they also had a goal of just dominating all season long. And right now, I don't know how you could pick apart this team and not say that they're the number one favorite to go all the way.
You know, Michael, obviously there's a huge sense of pride and relief in Columbus. You know, they kept that team together at the trade deadline, knowing all the RFAs, and yet here they are. They've made the postseason. They've committed. They're in. And now, do you think there's almost an increased level of pressure now in Columbus that they're in, and they just, you know, this team has been kept together, and now they have to try to win that first ever playoff series?
I think so. That is the goal. I talked to Jarmo Kekalainen, their general manager, at the GM meetings a month ago, and he said the number one goal in you know, trading for Duchesne and Ryan Dzingel and other players was just to get into the playoffs. But let's face it, that was step one. Step two is to go on a deep run. And, you know, you look at the roster, there's no reason why this team shouldn't be better than they are. They've got a goaltender in Sergei Bobrovsky who's twice won the Vezina Trophy and yet has just been god-awful in the playoffs. Like, his regular season numbers versus his playoff numbers could not be any different than they are right now. So he's got to step up. A guy like Matt Duchesne, who's a pending free agent, Ryan Dzingel, and Artemi Panarin, all free agents this summer. And if they want to get paid on July 1st, you know, they better lead this team past the first round. And, you know, it becomes easier if the first round opponent's not the Tampa Bay Lightning. But, you know, if I'm the Washington Capitals, the Columbus Blue Jackets are not the team I want to play in that first round. That could be a real, real upset team in the sense that, like I said, like if everything kind of clicks at the same time, don't be surprised if this Columbus team kind of goes on one of those Cinderella type runs.
Mike, I don't want to put you on a spot, but you mentioned earlier you're bullish on the Tampa Bay Lightning. So it's you know, a few days away from the start of the Stanley Cup playoffs. Next Wednesday is when it all gets going. But what's your prediction for the Stanley Cup final?
I got Tampa from the east and from the west. I don't know why I'm still in favor of this team. Maybe I think the switch is going to get flipped at some point, but I like the Sharks. I'm picking a San Jose-Tampa final. And I know the Sharks have just looked terrible in the last month or so, but they're getting Erik Karlsson back. I think Martin Jones is going to play some of his best hockey in the playoffs, and well, better because he's been just terrible. I think a sub 900 save percentage in the regular season. But yeah, I like San Jose versus Tampa, the two teams that I picked in the preseason.
I wasn't sure where you're going there, Mike. I thought you might say the Jets. You know, it is a Winnipeg-based hockey show, so I thought you might be going with the Lightning and the Jets there.
You know what? I hope the Jets go on a long run. I really like that team, and you know, maybe they will. I just, you know, Connor Hellebuck's getting too many shots on that. Like they got to do him a little bit more of a, I don't know, be a little nicer to him. No goalie face more rubber than Connor Hellebuck in the regular season, and that continues in the playoffs. I don't know if he's going to be good enough to kind of keep the puck out. And I don't know, maybe if Patrick Laine regains his scoring touch, I'll be proven wrong, but. There's just too many question marks right now with Winnipeg.
Yeah, Mike, it's not a big deal. We're just going to tweet out Michael Trikos' Stanley Cup predictions, and you're picking the Jets to lose to the Sharks in the West Final. It's not a big deal.
No, that's fine. I was on a Vancouver show the other day, and I told him that Elias Pettersson wasn't my Calder favorite. I'm all right. I just can't go anywhere outside of Ontario right now.
So I'm assuming, though, you're taking Jordan Binnington, right?
I am.
Yeah,
you know,
me too.
Yeah, you know, since January, this has been the best goalie and the best story in the NHL.
Yep,
I don't know how you can't reward him. And, you know, since the All-Star break, Elias Pettersson, I think, has only 4 goals. So he's done all his damage in the first half, and Binnington did all his damage in the second half. So I'm going with Binnington in that regard.
Yeah, I'm with you, Mike. Been nasty all the way. Michael Trikos is the national hockey writer for Post Media. He's obviously a good friend of the show. enjoy the last day of the regular season as we head into the playoffs next week.
All right. Thanks, boys. And like I said, I hope I'm proven wrong. I really love to see the Whiteout extend into the conference final again this year.
Yeah, us too, Mike. Thanks again. Have a good weekend.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Let's head to break. When we come back, we're going to talk about Bobby Lou, boys. Roberto Luongo is going to play in his last game. He's getting the start tonight for the Florida Panthers. There's some speculation that it might be Bobby Lou's last season, but if you ask Bobby Lou, he's not done yet. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. It's a Santa Lucia Pizza Winnipeg Jets game day on the home of the Jets and the Moose, TSN Radio 1290.
This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
The podcast
on TSN1290.ca.
Panthers could not clear. McAvoy has Chara walking in. Oh, Roberto Luongo! Veteran on veteran. The 39-year-old Luongo stops Chara.
Bobby Lou is no longer 39 years old. He turned 40 Thursday night, boys.
Wow.
Well, not Thursday night. I mean, Thursday. But that highlight was from Thursday night.
Well, we don't know when he turned. We don't know when he was born exactly. So it could have been.
Sorry, that highlight wasn't from Thursday. It was from earlier in the week when they played Boston.
Mm. So you lied to us.
No, I didn't lie. I just got the clip wrong. But they played, I forget exactly when they played Boston. It was about a week ago. I think it was last weekend, if I'm not mistaken. Dave, you can look that up for me.
Sure.
Because I'm busy here, you know, planning the show, but we should remind everybody, coming up at 11:15, we have the You Bet Your Jet Will Call You bonus play. There is going to be a chance for a lucky caller to win $1,000. So stay tuned for that at 11:15. Chance to win some great prizes and $1,000 cold hard cash. We're going to be joined by Colby Cohen coming up at 11 o'clock.
Answer to your question, it was last Saturday.
Yeah, last Saturday. That's what I thought. Well, originally after I got it wrong. Bobby Lou, absolutely. Oh, did you see that save on Chara?
And did you see what Chara did after the game?
I didn't.
He wrote. He sent a stick over to Lou saying, keep playing or something like that. Old guys like us need to stay in the league.
I like it. Yeah. Well, Chara's the oldest guy in the league.
That's right.
Right?
And one of the classiest.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, I think when you're talking about Roberto Luongo, I've said this before, I think you're talking about a future Hall of Famer. And I realize that Luongo hasn't won the Stanley Cup, but I don't care. You look at, you know, his wins. He's played well over 1,000 games. What is he up to right now in wins? Isn't he close to 500? He's very close to 500. I mean, when you look at the all-time wins leaders, he's right up there.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at what he's done over the course of his career, I mean, he's just been consistent. And I realize, guys, that, you know, Roberto Luongo had a bit of a rough start to the weekend. But, you know, you look at his numbers down the stretch for the Florida Panthers, he's actually been very solid here, if I can get my numbers here. He's got 3 years left on his contract, by the way. So, I mean, we should put that out there, even though he's 40 years old. But to start the season, his goals against average was 3.10, and his save percentage was under 900. And since then, his save percentage has been well over 900, and his goals against has come down. And when you look at Luongo and what he's done, and I think this is what it comes down to. We're talking about whether or not Roberto Luongo is going to be done after today. And there's speculation, you know, that Luongo might not be back next year. But if you read George Richards of The Athletic today, in The Athletic, he was talking about how Luongo next year might have to accept a reduced role and be a backup. Now, Sam Montembeau is a rookie goaltender for the Panthers. He was sent down to the Springfield Falcons. Forgot their nickname there for a second. He was sent down to Springfield, and Sam Montembeau is kind of their goalie of the future. Now, it looks like there's a good chance that James Reimer is not going to be part of the Panthers next year. He's still under contract, but there's the belief that they're going to go in another direction. Sergei Bobrovsky is a player who's been mentioned as a guy who they might sign. So when you're talking about Luongo, I guess the question then becomes, can he still be a member of the Panthers in a backup role? He's been a backup in Vancouver before, and he's been, you know, kind of the 1A, 1B goaltender for the Panthers for the last couple of years. So I guess let's just start off with that, guys. Is Luongo done, or do you see him coming back for at least one more year, maybe a couple of more years, as a backup to whoever they bring in, whether that's Sergei Bobrovsky or someone else?
Well, you know, to answer your question that you posed earlier, as he has 489 wins, which is third in the all-time category behind Broder at 691.
He's a future Hall of Famer.
And I think so too. And Patrick Waugh would be number two.
Like, does anybody actually disagree with that?
I mean,
489 career wins.
Yeah.
You look at what he's done internationally representing Team Canada.
That's Olympics.
Yeah,
I think that part is what would get him.
Like, who cares if he doesn't have a Stanley Cup? Maybe he will get that Stanley Cup. If he plays for a couple of more years, I mean, it's not out of the question that Florida doesn't turn it around and they win a cup, especially if they bring in Panarin and Bobrovsky.
Well, and that's the question, right? If it, you know, we've seen how guys hate to leave, hate to retire. You don't want to go out, you know, and be forced out. That's one of the things that you try. You don't want to stay too long and then have nothing left in the tank. And then it just, it's an embarrassment to the legacy of your career because people are like only really recall you for the last little bit. But I think in that reduced role, especially from a health perspective, you know, I mean, I think there's an argument to be made for Florida keeping Roberto Luongo. If you go out and you get a Bobrovsky who's going to obviously take the majority of the starts, but one, it gives you a veteran in case you need it, in case something happens to Bobrovsky. Because I think the key for these young goaltenders, and we're hearing it in Winnipeg now with Mikael Burden, because Mikael Burden, obviously a lot of people are maybe not super familiar with him, but you know, he's a Jets draft pick. He's been playing for the Moose. He started the year in the ECHL with Jacksonville, but he's a young player that people are asking me now about because I'm talking about him because he's playing with the Moose right now and he's having a lot of success. Is he someone the Jets should be thinking about calling up right now? And obviously we know that Lauren Brossoit is getting healthier, so it's not really likely. But the fact of the matter is with goaltenders, especially these young guys, you got to let them play and develop. Mm-hmm. So there's no advantage to allowing your developmental goalies to be in the NHL sitting behind a guy. To me, the advantage is let those guys play in the AHL, the ECHL, and develop. So to me, I would personally like to see Roberto Luongo maybe in a reduced role behind Bobrovsky, but that really gives them a veteran 1-2 tandem that you've got, you know, and again, it's just a function of whether his ego, and I'm not saying he has one, but I'm simply saying, you know, when you've been a 1A goaltender, you're pretty much your whole career, it's hard to accept that reduced role. But if you do, and maybe he's a numbers guy, maybe he wants to get to 500 wins, you know, as opposed to sitting at that four, if he wins tonight, 490. So to me, I think there's things to play for. And I think to your point, Ezzy, this is a Florida team that has a lot of cap space next year. They're going to have
a lot of cap space and a lot of talent. I mean, have you seen how many points Alex Barkov and Jonathan Huberdeau have put up this year?
Absolutely.
I mean, it's kind of similar to Edmonton. I mean, Barkov's having a career year. Huberdeau's having a career year. I mean, I've said this before. I picked him to be the Hart Trophy winner before the season started, mm-hmm. but I think Barkov deserves more credit for the Hart Trophy. But when you're talking about, you know, where the Panthers are in the standings and who he's going up against, right? You're going up against Connor McDavid and you're going up against Sidney Crosby and Nikita Kucherov and Brad Marchand. I mean, the list goes on and on. There's just so many other players that are in the Hart Trophy running. But you ask anybody in Florida, I mean, Barkov has by far been their best player and Jonathan Huberdeau hasn't been that far behind. And I agree with you, Dave. I think we are going to see Luongo back for at least one more year. And I wouldn't be surprised if he plays a couple of more years, maybe even three more years, because as we talked about, that's how many years he has left on his contract. And I do think the Panthers are going to bring in another goaltender. It could be Sergei Bobrovsky. It's possible that it's someone else. But as you mentioned, I think he's going to be perfectly happy to be a backup, be a mentor. Sam Montembeau, he is a very promising young goaltender. I think he's, 22 years old, 23 years old, and he's had a really good early start to his pro career in the American Hockey League. He's looked pretty impressive in the NHL as well. So I don't think this is going to be the last game Panthers and Devils play tonight to end the regular season. And obviously, you know, Panthers fans are going to be cheering very loudly to Roberto Luongo, making sure that this isn't going to be his last game. Not even close. He's been the best goaltender in Panthers history. People forget, before he went to Vancouver and played some really good hockey for the Canucks, he was excellent for the Florida Panthers year after year when he was facing the most shots in the entire league. He was putting up great numbers. His save percentage was always up there with the best in the NHL. We're going to take a break now, guys. When we come back, we're going to be joined by Colby Cohen. He's an analyst for ESPN covering college hockey. He's also an analyst for NBC Sports Philadelphia. We're going to talk a little bit about the Flyers. They're obviously not going to the playoffs, but we're going to focus on the Frozen Four, which starts next Thursday in Buffalo. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. It's a Santa Lucia Pizza Winnipeg Jets game day on the home of the Jets and the Moose, TSN Radio 1290.
This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show,
the podcast
on TSN 1290.ca.
Howdy, folks. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN Radio 1290. Ezra Ginsberg, Dave Minuk, and Sean Asor. It's a Santa Lucia Pizza Winnipeg Jets game day. Jets and Coyotes, final game of the regular season. The Stanley Cup playoffs start next Wednesday. Let's hit the Illegal Curve Hockey Show hotline.
Now, let's go live on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show hotline.
We are pleased to be joined by Colby Cohen. He's an analyst for ESPN covering college hockey. He's also an analyst for NBC Sports Philadelphia calling the Flyers. Colby, thanks so much for joining us today.
I appreciate it. I'm hoping you guys are getting the same nice weather in Winnipeg as we're getting out here on the East Coast.
Not quite. It's a little nippy still in Winnipeg. I think it's you know, going up to a decent temperature, but it's been a little bit of a chilly start to the month of April.
Well, I won't rub it in too much. We can move on from that topic.
Yeah, you know, Colby, we usually get, you know, at least a couple of months of good weather. Usually by July, it starts to warm up.
Well, you guys have a good hockey team, and when you win, that sort of solves everything. So
absolutely. I think
that's what they say, right? Winning solves everything.
Yeah, if it's if the weather's not too nice, I think Jets fans are going to be happy if the Jets are able to finish first in the Central and then get home ice for the first two rounds. Colby, obviously, we brought you on mainly to talk about the Frozen Four Championship, which starts next week in Buffalo, next Thursday to Saturday. We want to talk a little bit about the Flyers with you as well. But when you're talking about, you know, the Frozen Four, we know that the four teams are going to be the University of Denver, Minnesota Duluth, defending champions, Providence, and also University of Massachusetts, which made the Frozen Four for the first time in that organization's history. When you're talking about, you know, the Frozen Four and leading up to it with about 5 days to go before it starts, what are some of the storylines that you're looking forward to?
Well, you look at UMass, and they really are the big story. I mean, it's easy to, you know, Denver seems like they're in it every year. They've built such a sustainable program there. But, you know, I had the fortune of working the regional with Barry Melrose and John Butchegross that had UMass. And I don't know if I've seen such a dominant team. I mean, they are so skilled with players who are going to be playing in the NHL. I mean, their defenseman, Cale Makar, who obviously everybody's talking about, the kid who's the Colorado draft pick, you know, his level of domination and his, I mean, he just is a better player than everybody else in its most simple form. I mean, he's a better skater. He's a better puck handler. His vision is better. His hockey IQ is better. I'm not sure that I've seen a guy at that level be that good. And I played with Colin Wilson, who's a Winnipeg boy, actually. I mean, he dominated college hockey our sophomore year. He was runner-up for the Hobie Baker, but he should have won it. He didn't win it because he was a sophomore and he was going up against a couple of seniors. But, you know, he dominated the NCAA. This Makar kid is even at another level. He's so good that I honestly think if UMass loses on Thursday, he'll be playing on Friday or Saturday for the Avs in a prominent role. So, I mean, that's exciting for NHL fans, for college fans. It's really exciting to see kids this good playing in college hockey. And you know, I'm looking forward to great matchups. I mean, Minnesota Duluth is riddled with good defensemen, kids who will be playing in the NHL, kids who have been dominant players here in the NCAA. And so, you know, it's going to make for a very competitive, very exciting and fun games to call in Buffalo.
You know, Colby, you played 3 years at Boston University, went on then to play pro hockey. What's it like putting on the analyst hat? And I believe you're going to be in between the at ice level this year. So how different is that for you, and how exciting is it?
Yeah, I mean, I like my role. You know, getting to be involved in the game still from that angle is really a treat. I know a lot of guys go into coaching and scouting, and I've had those opportunities, but they just weren't all that appealing to me because there's a daily grind that goes along with that I was ready to move on from as a player. So, you know, being able to be between the glass, it's as close to being a part of the game as you possibly can without playing. And it's exciting. The energy's great. You know, it's fun to, you know, pump these kids up and pump their tires. I mean, I know what they're all going through, you know, playing in these universities. I know the pride that you take. I mean, there's a difference between being a college player and an NHL player. And obviously the NHL, you're making a lot of money, or the American League, you're making really, you know, a living. But it's a job. It really becomes, you know, guys who have families and this and that. But when you're a college player, there's so much camaraderie in your team, and it's fun, and you're living in the dorms together or campus housing. It's sort of a bond that you really never get in the NHL. So, you know, it's fun to watch these players grow up and mature and go through these things. And, you know, I've been fortunate to work my way into a role with ESPN and NBC. I got to do the Olympics last year, which was phenomenal. And so, it's a great way to be a part of the game.
Colby, I'm curious, just from a Winnipeg perspective, there's been a lot of talk about the Jets and just flipping a switch and, you know, going from playing decent hockey in the regular season to flipping that switch and playing at your highest level in the postseason. Just as a former player and someone who's been on a variety of teams, how difficult is that to do?
Yeah, so I think it's very difficult. I was part of the Bruins 2011 team that won. And, I mean, we won at BU as well my sophomore year. And the thing that both those teams really had in common is the last month of the season, we were playing our best hockey. And granted, you might have one night that's a letdown, and you might lose a game. But ultimately, you're really feeling good and confident in the locker room. And the really good teams are quietly very confident. Confidence is not given, and it's earned. And when you are playing at a really high level, that confidence is earned, and that comes out in the way that the team performs, the goaltending, the way the puck moves, just everything. So I'm not saying it can't be done, because when you look at Winnipeg's roster, it's really an incredible roster. And, you know, I called one of their playoff games last year, actually game 7 in Nashville for Westwood One, and you know, that's a team that is built to be successful in the playoffs. They're big, they're heavy, they're well-coached. You know, they've got good goaltending. They have a good goaltender. He needs to make saves. He needs to steal some. But, you know, ultimately, I think you're better situated and you're better off when you're playing like St. Louis, where you're hot as can be. I mean, you know, floundering a little bit heading into the playoffs, it certainly chips away at your confidence. And if you come out the first few nights of the playoffs and you play very well, you can gain that back. But, you know, I just think from what I've seen and the teams I've been a part of, the common theme was that we were rolling the right way, like almost like a snowball rolling down a hill. We were sort of rolling and rolling, and the snowball is getting bigger and bigger, and the confidence is growing. So, you know, I think that's important.
We're joined by Colby Cohen on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN Radio 1290. Colby is an analyst for ESPN, Westwood One, and NBC Sports Philadelphia. Colby also won a national championship in 2009 with Boston University. And, you know, getting back to the Frozen Four next week, and we talked about, you know, the teams Denver, University of Minnesota, Duluth, Providence, and UMass. And I think you'd agree that because they're defending champions, a lot of people are familiar with University of Minnesota, Duluth, and certainly Jets fans are familiar with the Bulldogs with Dylan Sandberg, 2017 second round pick. But you look at Providence, they beat Cornell 4-0 to win the East Regional. And you look at some of the players that they have: Jack Dugan, who's a Vegas 2017 fifth round pick, Casper Bjorkqvist, who's a Pittsburgh Penguins second round pick, Josh Wilkins led them with 45 points in 39 games. Is Providence maybe the dark horse to win this whole thing?
Yeah, I mean, these guys just know how to win come playoff time. They're coached by Nate Lehman, who really just is so well respected by his players. He's one of those guys that he's a player's coach, but not a, you know, he's one of, you respect him so much that you want to do the right thing and you want to work hard for him. So, you know, yeah, they're the dark horse. Would it surprise me to see them win? Absolutely not. Am I picking them to win? I'm not sure yet. I won't make my picks until a little bit later as we get closer to the Frozen Four, but you know, they've done well in the playoffs, and you know, when you get into the NCAA tournament format, it's so much different than the NHL playoffs, because you just need to get hot and you just need to win four games, and all of a sudden you're in great shape. It's such a different formula. It's such a different mindset. Your goalie gets hot. You know, in the NHL playoffs, if your goalie gets hot, you're playing for 2.5 months. But in the NCAA, you got to win four games. You know, and a hot goalie certainly can take you on a stretch like that. So, you know, Providence, I wouldn't be surprised to see them win and do some damage. But, you know, it's kind of an open field this year. I think UMass definitely, the way I watch them play in the regional, so like just their style of play, their speed, how deep they are on defense. They have six really good defensemen, and I think when you have six defensemen who can skate and move the puck, I think that sets you up well.
You know, Colby, a lot of people in Manitoba pay attention to college hockey, whether it's because of our proximity to North Dakota or whether it's because of all the Jets prospects that are playing on various teams. But what kind of buzz does the Frozen Four create in the United States? Is it, we obviously know what March Madness is able to do, but in April when the Frozen Four is ongoing, is it generating a lot of attention in the States?
Yeah, I think it does. I think it's a little more of a niche market, obviously, than the basketball, but you know, I think people who like hockey tune into the Frozen Four. I mean, it'll be on ESPN2. So it's, I mean, that's, you know, arguably ESPN, you can make an argument as, you know, the most popular sports channel we have in the U.S. It'll be on TSN. So it's got a lot of eyeballs. And hockey fans generally do like to tune in because there's something about it, that one game desperation. It's every game is a game seven. And I think hockey fans really appreciate that. Even casual hockey fans have an appreciation level for that. So it does generate buzz. John Butchergross does a really nice job of promoting it on his social media, on Twitter. He's got a huge following. You know, Barry Melrose, obviously everybody knows Barry. He's done quite a bit for the sport and in the sport. So, you know, I'm excited about it. I think it's growing every year. We've added a lot to the coverage this year. We've got a whole separate stream for the internet. That's going to have a whole different set of cameras and ISO cameras. And, you know, I give ESPN a lot of credit that they're bringing all of the studio on site. It's going to have a college game day type of feel. So, yeah, they're pumping it. They're promoting it. They're doing a ton of advertising for it. It's exciting for sure. And I mean, listen, Buffalo is a hockey city. So I think the fans will show up well. I've heard that the ticket sales are really strong.
You can catch Colby Cohen covering the Frozen Four Championship starting next Thursday live from Buffalo. Colby is an analyst for NBC Sports Philadelphia as well. And as we mentioned, he won a national championship with Boston University back in 2009. Colby, thanks so much for joining us this morning. And we can't wait for the Frozen Four to start. A lot of Jets fans are going to be pulling for Dylan Sandberg and the Minnesota Duluth Bulldogs.
Yeah, well, he's a good player. And it won't be long before you see him up in the province of Manitoba playing hockey. So thanks for having me on. I appreciate it, guys. Enjoy your day.
Yeah, absolutely, Colby. Thanks a lot.
All righty. See ya.
All right, let's head to break. It's time now, though, for the We'll Call You bonus play. If you texted You Bet and your phone number to 129090 this past week, we could be calling you next segment. Actually, Shawnee Asor is going to call you during the break. Stand by as we reach out to you, and we're going to play You Bet Your Jet next on your radio home of the Winnipeg Jets, TSN 1290.
This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
The podcast
on TSN1290.ca.
Hello and welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN Radio 1290. It is now time for the You Bet Your Jet Saturday bonus play. We have a caller on the line. Caller, what's your name?
This is Johannes.
Johannes, what area of Winnipeg are you calling from?
What is the area you called? Elmwood area, yeah.
Sorry, what area was that?
The Elmwood area.
Oh, Elmwood, okay. What kind of name is Johannes? I've never heard that name before.
Yeah, that's his Ethiopian.
Oh, Ethiopian, okay.
Originally, yeah.
Oh, very nice. Okay, so earlier you texted You Bet and your number to 129090, and we just drew your number from all of those who have texted in so far.
Oh, that's good.
Johannes, okay. just for being part of the You Bet Your J bonus, You Bet Your Jet, not You Bet Your J, it's not a Toronto Blue Jays contest, just for calling in, well, I guess we called you, but just for being our lucky contestant, you've won a legendary 10-inch spicy pierogi pizza from Boston Pizza. So you don't even have to do anything, and you've already won a spicy pierogi pizza.
Wow, that's great. That's nice.
Okay, so now, Johannes, we're going to give you a chance to win some great prizes and hopefully some big cash. Here's how it works. Today on You Bet Your Jet, we're featuring the three Jets who have been selected the least often in our You Bet Your Jet contest. Those Jets are Dmitry Kulikov, Nathan Beaulieu, and Kevin Hayes. I'm going to ask you, Johannes, I'm going to ask you a skill testing question about that jet that you select. If you get it right, you're going to win some great prizes. Then, as long as you get that question right, we're going to play a random highlight from this season. If that jet that you pick scores, you instantly win $1,000.
Okay, that's good.
Okay, so now it's time to play You Bet Your Jet. Who are you going to select? Dmitry Kulikov, Nathan Beaulieu, or Kevin Hayes?
I'll go with Kevin Hayes.
Okay, I like it. Former New York Ranger, centerman, centering that second line right now with Nikolai Ehlers and Matty Perreault.
Yes.
Okay, so here's your skill testing question about Kevin Hayes. And by the way, we have to mention that the prize is a pair of tickets to go see Disturbed at Bell MTS Place on July 23rd. That's actually the day before my birthday.
Wow, that's good.
Okay, so here's the question about Kevin Hayes, Johannes. If you get this question right, you're going to win those tickets to go see Disturbed at Bell MTS Place, and then you're going to be able to go around to the next round to hopefully win $1,000. And
okay.
It's a true or false question. I used to love those on exams. True or false, we acquired Kevin Hayes from the New York Rangers, but he was originally drafted by the Chicago Blackhawks.
I would say true.
Yes, that's correct.
Yes.
All right, you win a pair of tickets to go see Disturbed at Bell MTS Place on July 23rd. Are you a fan of Disturbed?
What's that again?
Are you a fan of the band Disturbed?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
It's a good band. It's a good pan. So far, you've won that spicy pierogi pizza, that 10-inch pizza from Boston Pizza, and you've won a pair of tickets to go see Disturbed on July 23rd at Bell MTS Place.
That's great.
All right, now you've advanced to the big cash round. Okay. Johannes, we're going to play a random highlight from this season. If Kevin Hayes scores, you're going to win $1,000 cash.
Sure.
All right, you ready to go? You're feeling good?
Yeah, very good.
All right, let's run that highlight.
Okay. Left side for Beaulieu. Beaulieu will hit center ice, and he'll send this in. Laine off the boards in front for Hayes, and it was just beyond his reach, or Hayes had an open net tap-in.
Didn't score.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, you don't win the $1,000, but you won that legendary spicy pierogi from Boston Pizza. And okay. You also win a pair of tickets to go see Disturbed at Bell MTS Place on July 23rd.
Yeah, that's great. Dude.
All right, Johannes, thanks so much for joining us today. And stay on the line, and we'll get your information, and then we'll be able to send you those tickets and that gift certificate for the pierogi pizza from Boston Pizza.
All right, sure. Thank you so much.
All right. Still haven't given away $1,000
yet. I was hoping. I kind of feeling that was going to be an instance where we'd see Johannes take home the $1,000, but... Kevin Hayes was the best guess of those three. If you're going to ask me who's going to score, Beaulieu or Kulikov or Kevin Hayes, I would have gone with Kevin Hayes
too.
So.
And you like that question, right? Because people forget that he was originally drafted by Chicago in the first round, but he actually signed, if you remember, back in, what was it, 2013, 2014, with the Rangers.
Five years ago.
It was known as the Kevin Hayes sweepstakes, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I liked how that little bit of a curveball was thrown into that true or false question, but Johannes got that question right, and he's going to go check out Disturbed.
No question. He knew he was going with true all the way.
We're not necessarily fans of Disturbed, but we just are Disturbed.
Yes, for sure.
So, nice to see him get some tickets and pick up that spicy pierogi pizza from Boston Pizza. So we're happy to see that. We've only got a couple of minutes here. We actually have Cam Robinson coming up at 11:30. We're going to talk about the 2019 NHL draft, less than 3 months away in Vancouver, Dave. We're also going to do a playoff fantasy preview with Cam Robinson. Everybody's got their fantasy drafts coming up for the playoffs, right? Because the regular season ends today. The playoffs start next Wednesday. So we're going to help everybody out. Cam's going to come on and he's going to give us some tips. We're going to talk about certain players. But before we head to break, I want to talk just a little bit about the news that came out yesterday. Glenn Sather will be stepping down as president of the New York Rangers. And there's always been, speculation that, one of these years is going to be Glenn Sather's last year. And obviously, he's not a young fellow anymore and he's, earn the right to leave the New York Rangers. I imagine he's going to be involved with the Rangers in some minor capacity. But I guess, what did you think of, Dave, when you heard that news? Because we just always associate Glenn Sather with the Rangers. Prior to that, obviously, the Oilers. Mm-hmm. But who do you think is going to replace him? And overall, what do you think about that news? Because, as I said, you just expected kind of Glenn Sather to always be a member of the Rangers.
Yeah, no, you just have that vision of whenever they pan up to the press box of Glenn Sather chomping on a cigar, even if it wasn't lit, and just...
Right, because he doesn't smoke them anymore.
Doesn't smoke them, but he does chomp on them.
Yep.
So, it's interesting. It's kind of an end of an era. Glenn Sather, obviously, the architect in Edmonton and, again, in New York. And he's just kind of a fixture in the NHL community. one of those guys big into horse racing, so I'm a fan of Glenn Saylor. But yeah, no, it's the end of an era. I mean, you know, and these things have, you know, we're seeing it with Bob Cole tonight, and we're seeing it with, you know, a lot of guys who we probably grew up watching and in some capacity, whether it was broadcast or in Glenn Saylor's, you know, role of managing hockey teams. But these things come to an end, and I like the fact that the organizations are keeping them on. I know that Glenn Saylor is still going to be with the Rangers organization in a more limited capacity, so he'll still be having a role with the president of the organization, and he just won't be, obviously, in his current role. And I think, you know, it's probably not a bad thing. It's an opportunity for young players to, you know, young players in the industry. I don't mean players from a hockey perspective, but people in the industry to get opportunity, and that's not a bad thing. I think, you know, the one thing the NHL has a tendency to do is stick with that whole old boys club and former players and that sort of thing. And I like the idea of new blood into the NHL, and it's not something we see regularly, but, you know, I think you don't do it just for the sake of doing it, but I think it's not a bad thing to start expanding your vision and seeing opportunities with people who aren't necessarily in that traditional mold getting these types of opportunities. So I don't know, you know, where the search will take the New York Rangers, but I just think that from a perspective of theirs, they really should be looking across the board, not just with a very narrow focus.
Yeah, and we should mention Glenn Saylor is 75 years old, so he's earned the right at this point in his career to step back and enjoy some time with his friends and family, right? He's been working, you know, for the majority of his life, and he's obviously a legend. He's got 5 Stanley Cup rings, and, you know, this stat to me is probably the most impressive. Saylor spent 19 years with the New York Rangers. 15 years he was the general manager of the Rangers. Of course, Jeff Gorton, former assistant GM, is now the GM of the Rangers. But the Rangers made the playoffs in 12 of the 18 years with Saylor. Saylor reached the Stanley Cup final in 2014. Saylor's 556 wins as GM are the most in franchise history. So, I mean, the majority of the time Saylor was with the Rangers, they made the playoffs, and they've obviously been one of the model franchises in the last couple of years. You know, they've missed the playoffs, but certainly year after year, you know, the Rangers were a Stanley Cup contender. So we're going to head to break now. When we come back, we're going to be joined by Cam Robinson of Dauber Hockey and Dauber Prospects. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. It's a Santa Lucia Winnipeg Jets game day on TSN Radio 1290.
This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show,
the podcast
on TSN1290.ca.
Last couple of segments here on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, Winnipeg Jets game day, Jets and Coyotes tonight at 9 o'clock. The afternoon ride is going to be by at 6 o'clock, and then the Manitoba Building Trades Winnipeg Jets pregame show is going to start at 8 o'clock. A little bit later, Kevin Owen, friends, let's hit the Illegal Curve Hockey Show hotline.
Now, let's go live on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show hotline.
We're joined by managing editor of Dauber Prospects and associate editor of Dauber Hockey, our good friend, live from British Columbia, Cam Robinson. Cam, how's it going?
I'm doing well, boys. How are you?
We're doing really well. Last game of the regular season. There's a lot at stake tonight. Jets and Coyotes. The Jets can still finish first in the Central Division. They can also finish second or third in the Central Division. So we're gearing up for the playoffs. We're really pumped up here.
Yeah, no doubt. You got to like game 82 still having some weight to it for a playoff team.
Absolutely. And Cam, we also want to talk about the 2000 NHL draft, which is coming up at the end of June, and we want to focus on the top of the first round, because I think you'd agree Kaapo Kakko has played his way into the number one overall selection conversation, and you know, we want to talk about that with you as well. But we want to focus and do a fantasy hockey playoff preview with you, because everyone's gathering around this time of year, most likely, you know, going to be on Monday or Tuesday once we know all the different playoff matchups. But we want to talk about fantasy playoff drafts with you, and we want to start off with strategy, because everyone knows that in the playoffs it's much different. Obviously you have less teams, but it's a different strategy, because oftentimes people will load up on one team. So before we get into specific players, what's a general philosophy that you have about fantasy hockey drafts?
Yeah, so first things first, obviously you understand your scoring category, so you need to have a strong understanding. You know, do goals count more than assists or something like that? You need to have that dialed in and kind of pinpoint players from that. But the big thing is just follow the bracket. So, you know, who has an easier path to the promised land? So spreading out talent during the regular season is often encouraged. You know, stacking line mates or having 3 or 4 guys on one team can be detrimental to your team, but not so much in a playoff pool. So I like to pinpoint 4 teams and project them making it to the conference finals. So those are the teams that I try to target players from. You can go big and you can really kind of line up two teams. You're like, these are the guys that are going to the finals, and try to pull players from those two teams first and then your secondary teams after that. A little bit more risk, but you know, that's kind of how you win a playoff pool. If the two teams or the four teams you project to bust out early, then oh well, that's how it goes. But if you spread out your talent, then you're never going to have a chance. So this means, you know, not hedging your bets and grabbing two-star players who face off in round one. So don't grab Marner and then Marchand with your two first picks. Obviously, getting these guys that go deep is going to be paramount, but you need to play a little kind of finicky here. It's great to get a superstar who gets 8 or 10 points in the first round and loses, but maybe getting a second liner who plays on that top power play and goes four rounds deep is going to bring you more payoff. So getting that power play time is key. I don't really want anybody who's on a second unit if I can help it. Maybe later on is kind of your sleeper pick. But you want those guys who eat up those big offensive minutes. So, you know, in that case, I'd rather Chris Letang, who maybe goes one or two rounds over a guy like Anton Strahlman, who's not going to get much power play time, but it's going to go four rounds. So those are some of the things that I look at when I'm thinking strategy.
You know, Cam, when we're talking about, you know, playoff strategy, and you mentioned you should pick off of four teams, and we want to ask you about certain players, but specifically that first round, those first couple of rounds, if you're in a draft where there's, you know, 10, 12, 14 teams, and you're just taking players and it's straight points, goals aren't worth more than assists, when you're thinking about who you're going to take in that first round specifically, and you know, the common names are going to come up, Nikita Kucherov, Brad Marchand, I mean, we know Sidney Crosby you could throw in there as well, but how important is that first round playoff matchup? Because it could be Tampa Bay versus Carolina, but it could also be Tampa Bay versus Columbus. So how much do you have to factor that in, especially when you're talking about who you're going to take in the first couple of rounds?
Yeah, it's massive getting out of the first round. Having, you know, you want the majority, if not the entirety of your team still alive after that first round. So, you know, avoid these pick 'em series. So, you know, unless you have a really strong feeling one way. So, you know, I'm going to, you know, we'll talk about specific players, but, you know, if it is Carolina, Washington in that first round, I'm probably thinking about going big and grabbing a few Hurricanes players, because if they can get by the Caps, which I think they'd have a legit chance to, then they're facing off the winner, the Islanders or Penguins in the second round. And that's a lot more doable than, say, Toronto, who has to get through Boston, who's owned them in the past. And then they probably have a date with Tampa Bay in the second round. So getting to that Eastern Conference final is going to be far easier on one side of the bracket than the other. And it's similar in the West, but not as skewed, because there is no Tampa Bay on the western side. But yeah, definitely, you don't want to, like I said, you don't want to be grabbing two players off two teams that are playing each other in the first round, because you know you're going to lose out on one of them anyways, on your top players. And then you really want to follow that bracket, because there are definitely easier paths.
You know, Cam, there's no one-size-fits-all strategy, because obviously there's different types of fantasy pools that people participate in. But I would suspect, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, that a lot of these pools are won not by the top-end players that you select, but by the players that are your depth players on your team.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. So it's funny. My dad's been playing these playoff pools for years, and he's been dominant at it. He kicks my butt every year, too. And he has a knack for finding those two or three guys that blow up. The Bickles and these guys, the Fernando Pisanis that just go off out of nowhere. And you know, that's great. And if you can grab one or two of those guys and actually hit on them, then you are going to have an upper hand on anybody else. But you don't want to get too crazy and think you're Nostradamus out there and start grabbing third and fourth liners too early, thinking that they're going to break out. Because it does happen every year, mostly because when you're playing a seven-game series, coaches are smart. They know how to lock down some of these top players, and they get those shutdown minutes, and things happen, and that opens up opportunities for these guys that play down the lineup. But you need to be careful. So it is important to take risks in playoff pools, but if you get too crazy, you might be out of it before you get started.
Cam, I'm curious. I'm just picturing myself sitting down at a draft with some buddies, going through my plans and my proposals and looking, and I'm just trying to think of how tempting it is with the rest of the people as well, when you're looking at the standings and the rosters, and you see a plus 100 differential from the Tampa Bay Lightning. I mean, how hot a commodity are the Tampa Bay Lightning entering this postseason in the playoff perspective, from a fantasy perspective?
Yeah. For sure, you know, they are going to be the team that everybody wants to load up on. And so, you know, you want a piece of that. Everybody's going to want a piece of that. And if you can't get Kucherov, you know, if you can't get Braden Point, you can't get Steven Stamkos, you know, maybe you're looking at Tyler Johnson. Maybe you're looking at Anthony Cirelli, you know, trying to get a piece of that. And so when I was saying I don't want guys on second power play units, I take them on Tampa Bay, because their second unit is, you know, arguably as good as some teams' first unit at times. So a player that we can talk about here in a minute, too, is Miguel Sergachev. So with the question mark on Victor Hedman right now, is that is Sergachev going to get all those top power play minutes? And even if he doesn't, you know, he plays even strength minutes with that Stamkos line, and then he has a good spot on that second power play unit too. So he's a guy that'll be really interesting to see if you miss out on some of the top guys, kind of angling towards him would be a good bet too.
And Cam, and we're joined by Cam Robinson of Dauber Hockey and Dauber Prospects on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN 1290. We want to ask you about some specific players. I mentioned Brad Marchand earlier, and I think you'd agree Nikita Kucherov is going to go number one, or probably at the lowest, he's going to go number two or number three in most playoff pools. But, you know, Brad Marchand, his first ever 100-point season, he was phenomenal last year for the Bruins in the two rounds. But is it possible that you take maybe Brad Marchand number one, considering how good he's been in the playoffs over the years, and a matchup that might be considered by many to be favorable, Bruins versus the Leafs?
It will be. I have the Bruins taking the Leafs in that series, and you know, it might go six or seven, but I like Marchand to put up a ton of points. He loves the playoffs. It's a big stage. It's his style of game. So the whistles get put away a little bit. It gets a little chippy, and he's a guy that thrives in that environment. I wouldn't be taking him number one. Nikita Kucherov is kind of one with a bullet for me, and then probably number two is Andrei Vasilevsky, because grabbing yourself a goaltender that can go to the Stanley Cup Finals is you basically need one of them if you want to win your fantasy pool, because they contribute so many points. So, but looking at Marchand at three, that could be a good bet too, especially if you like him to maybe push Tampa Bay, Boston to a deep second round series. I don't know if they can get by the Lightning. Anything can happen in the playoffs. And if you did decide to load up on Boston, you know, that could be a good bet, especially if they knocked off a Lightning and you could be sitting there with a whole bunch of players still deep when everybody else had Lightning guys and they're gone.
Now, Cam, are there any guys that you're shying away from because you don't think their team is going to make it past that first round or even maybe past the second round? So even if they are top-end talent, you're saying, you know what, I got to stick away from those guys because I just don't have faith in their teams overall?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so there's a couple of teams that kind of stand out for me. So I really like Vegas against San Jose in that first round. And so the Sharks are going to have some players that people are going to look at. Burns, Carlson, if he's healthy, getting up there is Couture and then these guys, even Timo Meier. There's people that are going to like the Sharks, and they're going to kind of grab a few of their deep cuts too. But I think Vegas is going to roll through them. I think it could be a quick series. I don't like the Sharks goaltending, so I would stay away from the Sharks. The Jets, they've been pretty medium here since the All-Star break. They're going to have a tough matchup with whoever they land. If they end up winning the Central, I like them a little bit more. But if they're playing St. Louis, you know, the Blues are rolling. I'd be tempted to take a swing on a guy like Binnington to get past them and to have a good matchup in the second round. So, depends on where those matchups are. The Jets scare me a little bit, too. And then the Leafs. I don't think they're getting past the Bruins. So, you know, I wouldn't be targeting Matthews and Marner. You know, maybe if you do think they have a chance, you go and grab a guy like William Nylander, who's had, you know, nearly a point a game in his last 10, but he's had the down season, so people are going to forget about him. So he could be a late-round grab. But otherwise, I'm probably staying away from the Leafs, too.
Cam, I'm curious, just, there's been the video circulating over the past 24 or 36 hours of Jack Hughes and his training regimen over the last 4 years, and just the amount of work and dedication this young man has put into being, you know, a potentially projected first overall pick in this year's draft. I mean, aside from the tremendous skill this kid is showcasing in these videos, I mean, what does it say about, like, just where we are at as these 14, 15, 16-year-olds and the level of training that they have to put in to become these top prospects?
Yeah, it is something else, especially these ones like Hughes, like McDavid, that they're groomed from a very, very young age. They have their own personal skills coaches when they're 10 and 11 years old. You know, their off-ice workout regimes are you know, far superior than anything I could ever hope for as an adult. But yeah, and they're prepped for the media too. This is mostly North America. Europe is, they focus on skills as well, but it's not as intent on kind of that social aspect as well. So be in front of the camera and the microphone. But Jack Hughes, we're running out of superlatives for this kid. He's electrifying. So he has that high end skating ability that, you know, you put him maybe a notch below McDavid, right in that Nate MacKinnon kind of era. Great edge work. He's at his best when he has the puck on his stick, and he loves to have the puck on his stick in the offensive zone. So him and brother Quinn, they have that in common. When they play together, they're both kind of circling the offensive zone, and they have the puck on their stick longer than most guys have an entire game on one shift sort of thing. I still like him to be number one. I think that his shot could use a little more zip. It's still very strong, but that's going to come with that improved strength, and I think that's kind of the question mark that people are pointing at it right now, is that, you know, Kaapo Kakko has tons of skill, and he's got the physicality, the big body for the NHL that he can step in and probably thrive. I think that's overvalued a little bit with Hughes, and I think he's going to come into the NHL next year, and he's going to silence a lot of critics with that.
We're joined by Cam Robinson on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN Radio 1290. And Cam, you cover the world of fantasy hockey for Dauber Hockey, but you know we're also talking about the 2000 NHL draft because you cover prospects and you scout prospects for Dauber prospects. And you mentioned Kaapo Kakko there, and you know some scouts are talking about Kaapo Kakko really closing the gap between himself and Jack Hughes. You seem to still think that Jack Hughes is the consensus number one overall pick. But when you're talking about Kakko, how close is that gap? Because it seemed like at the beginning of the season, you know, Jack Hughes was way farther ahead of Kakko.
Yeah, and you know what? Even after the World Juniors, where Kakko had that great World Juniors, scored the golden goal, he had a really strong tournament, I still had them, Jack Hughes in Tier 1 and Kaapo Kakko in Tier 2. That has shrunk a little bit for me now. He's gone back to the Finnish Liga, and he was scoring at will. So that was one of the things back in, you know, late December, I was saying I wanted to see him shoot the puck more. So he played for TPS, and a lot of plays were dying on the sticks of his teammates, and he was kind of deferring to those older veterans in a pro league. I wanted him to shoot the puck, and he did that. And he went off, and he's now the most prolific under-18 scorer in Liga history. So, you know, he's passed Sasha Barkov and Patrick Laine. So he has a really strong release. I've got them in the same tier now. I think it's more of a 1A, 1B situation. You might see a team grab Kakko number one if it fits their team model a little bit better. You're not going to go wrong. Whoever lands in that two-hole, it's not a consolation prize. It's you're getting a player that's of number one overall quality.
Okay, Cam, just last question for you here. We wanted to ask you about Bowen Byram. You know, he's from Cranbrook, BC. He plays for the Vancouver Giants. He had an excellent season, 26 goals, 71 points in 67 games, and then he's also put up good numbers in the playoffs for the Giants. Many scouts have him as a top 10 pick. Some scouts even have him as high as maybe number 4 or number 5. But is this a guy that not many people know about, who people are going to start to know about once it gets closer to the draft just because of the really good offensive numbers he put up in the dub?
Yeah, for sure. So he's head and shoulders the best defenseman in this crop. He's an explosive skater. He's one of these guys. I said this about Quinn Hughes last year, is that he's a one-man breakout. So he gets the puck behind his net, and he can gain entry into the offensive zone all on his own and set up shop. So he uses his speed. He can dictate the pace to create that separation. He's got a great shot. He can work the line, so he can kind of embarrass oncoming forwards that are coming at him, and he can deke them and then create that separation to get a shot through. He scored, I don't have it, 5 or 6 overtime winners this year, which was a WHL record as a defenseman, which is pretty insane. So he's got a flair for the dramatic and can score some clutch goals. I think he's a top 10 lock. I wouldn't be surprised if he goes top 5. I think he's probably in that 5 to 7 range. But yeah, he's the top blue liner in this class, and whoever gets him is going to have a nice pillar on that left side.
Cam Robinson is the managing editor for Dauber Hockey, and he's also the associate editor for Dauber Hockey and Dauber Prospects, pardon me. And Cam, we're going to hope to have you on as we get closer to the 2019 NHL draft. The Jets, of course, don't have their first round pick. The New York Rangers own their first round pick, but we're still going to be covering the 2019 NHL draft, and we always appreciate you coming on.
Yeah, thanks a lot for having me on, guys.
All right, have a good weekend, Cam.
You as well.
All right, one final segment to go. When we come back, we're going to be talking about the Manitoba Moose. The Manitoba Moose currently sit in fourth place in the Central Division. They have a weekend set against the Stockton Heat. The game today is at 2 o'clock p.m., so we're going to talk about the Moose next segment. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. It's a Santa Lucia Pizza Winnipeg Jets game day on the home of the Jets and Moose, TSN 1290.
This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
The podcast
on TSN1290.ca.
Final segment here on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN Radio 1290, Santa Lucia Pizza Winnipeg Jets game day. Final day of the regular season, the Jets and the Coyotes, tonight from Gila River Arena at 9 o'clock. This final segment, Dave, I want to talk about, I should mention, the final segment of the show here is brought to you by Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, officially declared the funniest place in Winnipeg by Illegal Curve Hockey. For over 30 years, Rumors has been bringing Winnipeg the best in stand-up comedy. This weekend, Chad Daniels is performing at Rumors. Chad has performed on The Tonight Show with Conan O'Brien, and his 4 comedy albums have over 700 million streams. That's a lot of streams. To purchase tickets for a list of performers and showtimes, visit rumorscomedyclub.com. We've got about 3 minutes here, guys, and I want to talk about the Manitoba Moose. Obviously, you know, a couple of big games this weekend against the Stockton Heat. The Moose currently sit in fourth place in the Central Division, Dave, as you know. 5 games left.
5th place. They slipped out. Yesterday, Texas and Milwaukee both won, so they slipped just 2 points ahead of
them. But they have the game in hand.
Yes, that's right.
Right, so huge games today and tomorrow. Both games we should mention are at 2 o'clock, and you can hear those games both on TSN 1290. Our good friend Mitch Peacock is going to have the call. So what are you looking at for this weekend's games against the Stockton Heat? Because obviously, you know, the Moose have been playing some fantastic hockey at home, and the Stockton Heat are completely out of the playoff picture.
Yeah, so basically the idea is that you've got a Moose team that's just ridiculous at Bell MTS Place. They're 18-2-1-1 in their last 22 games. I've been talking about it a lot on the website, illegalcurve.com, no big deal. But it's remarkable. This team has just hit, you know, we want to talk about flipping a switch. Since Christmas, they've hit a reset button, and they've just blown it up. And the whole team collectively has just really pushed forward. So it's really just a total team effort right now that we're seeing from the Moose. So we'll see Ryan White have a big impact. Logan Shaw, the big boys are stepping up. Mason Appleton, we have to see a lot of that. But again, it's a big collective team effort, and they should be able to get it done against Stockton.
As we mentioned before, Stockton versus the Manitoba Moose today at 2 o'clock on TSN 1290, and tomorrow the Moose play Stockton again at 2 o'clock. Wanted to talk more about the Moose, but we went a little bit late here, so we're going to have to wrap it up here. Big thanks to all of our guests. Brian Munns joined us, Kat Silverman, Michael Trakos, Colby Cohen joined us to preview the Frozen Four Championship, and we were joined by Cam Robinson. Big thanks to all of our sponsors, Bernstein's Deli, Zappia Group Realty, Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, and Dr. Les Rikus and the Linden Market Dental Center. Huge thanks to everyone for listening. Final Jets game of the season between the Jets and Coyotes at 9 o'clock. Afternoon Ride kicks it off at 6 o'clock, and then the Manitoba Building Trades Jets pregame show starts at 8 o'clock. Thanks for listening. Have a great weekend.